Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Hao from Petro Mink and Carnegie Mellon. So today I'm going to present my work, CAVS, an efficient runtime system for dynamic neural networks. This is a work with my colleagues in CMU and Petro. Okay, so my talk will mainly cover three aspects. First, I will brief some context on deep learning and data flow graphs. And then I'm going to introduce you the dynamic neural networks and also available programming models for it. And then I'm going to present our system. So we know that a layer in a neural network is composed of a few finer computational operations, which can be represented as a forward pass through a data flow graph. And training the layer parameters involves deriving the gradients of the parameters. And we can think that as a backward pass where the gradients flow through a backward data flow graph representation of that layer. And given the nowadays, good availability of these deep learning frameworks, they can actually automatically derive the backward graph given the forward graph and based on the auto-differentiation rules. So with this data flow graph representation, defining a neural network is almost equivalent with assembling a data flow graph where we define operators and layers based using the operators provided by the frameworks, and then we define data I/O, define loss functions, and also optimization servers, and finally we connect all these things together as a whole data flow graph following the network architecture. And then the auto-differentiation libraries such as CAFE and TensorFlow can take over, and they can automatically derive the backward graph and then perform training iteratively by forward and backward passes. Yeah. Here is a good animation from a TensorFlow website where we have a neural network, and we try to train it with forward and backward pass, and we can think of that as data batches flowing through the forward data flow graph and backward data flow graph. Yeah, nice animation. So we can summarize this programming model as a static declaration with three procedures. The first is the user declare a data flow graph using the interface provided by frameworks. And then the framework analyzes and optimize the flow graph. So it first derives the backward graph based on the forward graph. And then it probably will optionally incorporate some graph level optimizations to improve the execution efficiency. And with both the graph, forward and backward graph ready, the framework will perform training iteratively. So actually, static declaration has been a dominant choice in deep learning community, and it has a lot of advantages. First, it's good for static workflows because the user only needs to define the graph once, and that graph will be applied over all training data. Second, because all samples compute over one single data flow graph, that means their computational pattern is shared. So in this way, we can very easily batch the computation over multiple samples, but just appending additional batch dimension at the beginning of the tensors, which is the representation of the data. And then we call the matrix computing libraries such as CUDA or Intel MKL to accelerate the computation. And we can benefit a lot of efficiency. That's where I try to illustrate in this algorithm. So also, it's very easy to optimize because we can directly incorporate a lot of graph-level optimization over the declared data flow graph. Yeah. So now let's talk about another family of neural networks called dynamic neural networks. So nowadays, deep learning has been applied on more structured data. And sometimes we want the neural network encode some structured information preserved in the data. And in order to do that, we want the neural network to compute following the some structure, input structures with that data. And this actually has a lot of examples on that is recurrent neural networks, and most of its variants have this kind of property. For example, we use sequence RN to handle, to translate a sentence, and the sentence usually have variable lengths, and we want our neural network also be adapted with different lengths of input sentence. This also applies for tree RN and graph RN. And an example is that we want to use a recurrent neural network to, for example, classify the sentiment of the sentence. And besides the sentence itself, we already have availability of the parsing tree of the sentence, where this figure given example. And in order to encode that parsing tree information into our model, we want our network to compute following the dependencies parsing tree. Here I give an example of the tree LSTM, which apply LSTM, which is a computational unit function in recurrent neural network, following the tree structure here from leaves to root. So a question to answer is, can we handle dynamic data flow graphs? That means we want the neural network architecture to change with data. Using the static declaration approach, there do exist some tricks, such as static unroll and bucketing, which have been commonly adopted in machine learning community to handle sequences. I'm not going to talk about details, but at the core of the tricks is to pad inputs to the input sentence so that they have the same length. And then I use a same neural network, a static one, to handle all these inputs. But while they are very commonly adopted, but they are probably not good because first, they are not able to express structures that are beyond sequences. For example, if we have graphs and trees, then you cannot simply do padding, right? And also, because you pad a lot of things, that means you have to process the shorter sentence with more computation. That result in unnecessary computation. And also, it's not so easy to implement this kind of padding functions. The community has tried to extend the static declaration into another model called dynamic declaration. So the key idea is quite simple. That is, I want to declare or construct a data flow graph for each input sample. So in comparison with the static declaration, we need to move the graph declaration and the construction from outside of the loop to inside of the loops in this algorithm. Then, because I will construct a data flow graph which have a different structure for different samples, I cannot perform batch computation. In this case, I have to perform a single instance computation. In fact, many DL frameworks in the past 2 years have trying to adopt this strategy. This includes Dynet, PyTorch, and China, which has gained substantial popularity. Yeah. So now let's say what pros and cons this new programming model introduces. The major advantage we can see is it has a lot of flexibility because you are going to declare one data flow graph, for example, then you can declare anything you want. But this efficiency actually comes from the sacrification of the flexibility. This flexibility comes from the sacrificing of the efficiency, sorry. So the first problem is that because we move the graph declaration and construction from outside of the loop to inside of loops, that means you have a graph construction overhead that grows linearly with the number of examples. We know that graph construction is not free. You need to write code to do that, and your CPU need to construct graph and parse the graph, understand the graph, right? So we actually perform an empirical study here, and we find that in TensorFlow Fold, which is a dynamic, which is an interface provided by TensorFlow that tries to address the, try to handle the dynamic neural networks, they take like 80% of the overall time just for graph construction. That is very surprising. The second problem, as I mentioned, is the batching will be very difficult because your graph, you have not many graphs now, and each graph has a different structure, and you cannot directly append a batch dimension, and you cannot directly call CUDA kernels, and you can only perform single instance training. In this case, your training will be very slow. Yeah. And in fact, until last year, many papers published in like NLP or computer vision, which try to use this tree LSTM model, they use a batch size equal to 1. Yeah. The third one is also very obvious. You are not available to graph optimization anymore. Because in static declaration, we optimize one single data flow graph once. And this optimization can benefit the computation of all the following examples. But in dynamic declaration, you have one data flow graph, for example. If you apply this optimization, first, this optimization itself has an overhead. Second, even if you optimize it, you can only accelerate the computation on one single example that corresponds to that data flow graph. This is useless anymore, right? Now I'm going to introduce, with the problem stated, I'm going to introduce CAVs. And with the design goals, that is that we want to keep the flexibility of data flow graph programming models, but we want to address the three challenges I mentioned in my previous slides. So our motivation for CAVs come from a key observation, that is most dynamic neural networks have this kind of recurrent or recursive structures. So I will take a second look at the example I used for parsing tree. The important observation here is that the NN structure varies with the underlying parsing tree over each input sample, but the same LSTM style function is constant in shape and is repeated at each internal node of this input structure. So that means the dynamics of this neural network actually come from the sample-dependent part of structure, not the machine learning model itself. This actually applies to a lot of dynamic neural networks that is commonly adopted, such as a tree, LSTM, different kind of RN variants, graph-based models, memory augmented models. So CAVS, based on IDEA, introduced a novel representation for dynamic neural networks. And it tries to decompose a dynamic neural network into two parts. So the first part is a so-called vertex function, which we require the user to declare it, and it is kept static throughout the runtime. And the second part is the input graph G, which is data dependent and can change with samples. And the CAVS will require user to write a simple IO function to read it through IO. Therefore, CAVS separates out the static machine learning model part from the data dependent dynamics, which come from the input samples. This actually will result in a lot of advantages I'm going to cover in my next slides. So before I talk about these advantages, I want to first talk about how we enable users to program dynamic neural networks with this representation. Three procedures. First, we require the user to implement a vertex function F using the same data flow programming interface and specifying how a node will interact with its neighboring nodes in that graph. This is actually we borrow some insight from a graph computing community. We know that in graph computing, there is a programming model called the sync network vertex. That is, you try to express the global computational pattern by specifying the local computational pattern in a single node, right? And once we have this user-declared graph F ready, we let the system to read input graph G through I/O. And then the computation is pretty easy. That is, we let the system to schedule the execution of F following the dependencies present in the input graph G. Yeah. We designed the four APIs to enable this. The first two APIs are quite similar to system audience, which is gather and scatter in graph computing. That is, we use gather to enable a node to gather inputs from its dependent nodes, while scatter is a reverse API that we use to scatter its output to its parent nodes. But machine learning is quite different from graph computing, because in graph computing, you only need to grab contents from your neighboring nodes in that same graph, big graph. But in machine learning, in a single node, you sometimes need to also grab inputs from external that graph, for example, another model or another big graph, which is not in parallel with your graph. In this case, we designed another two API, push and pull, which is a server for that purpose. That is, pull that is trying to grab contents from external that graph. And push is a reverse API that push content out. So in this case, we can implement this function F, vertex function, by first gather some input from my children, and then pull something from the external. Then I declare some data flow graph programming, data flow graph logics using my framework interface, and then I scatter my output to my parents' nodes, and I push my output to external if necessary. And backpropagation is also very obvious. That is, for the forward pass, it becomes that the system schedules the execution of F following the on a batch of input graphs, following the dependencies present in that graph. For example, if our input graphs are trees, we just follow in the order. We schedule F from leaf nodes to the root nodes. And the backward is a reverse operation. That is, we schedule the execution of partial F, which can be derived by auto-differentiation based on F, following a reverse order from root to leaves. So now let's talk about the advantages. The first advantage is that because now we only ask user to declare a static vertex function, where we treat the input graph G as an IO, in this case, we bypass the graph construction overhead. we move this graph construction process from inside of the loop back to the outside of the loop. In this case, this graph construction is pretty minimal and can be ignored, actually. Our empirical study reveals that CAVS has a constant graph or construction overhead regardless of how many nodes you have for your input graph. And also, CAVS outperforms TensorFlow-Fold and DENET, which is another state-of-the-art system for dynamic neural networks by a notch margin. Where the left axis is absolute time and the red axis is a percentage time. Yeah. Okay. And also, CAVS re-enables the batch computation. So why? We know the reason that it's very difficult to perform batch computation in dynamic declaration is because first, if we want to enable batch computation of operations, only those operations with the same input, with the same signature, that means that the same function, and also with the same input shapes and output shapes can be batched as one kernel. This is very hard to, it's very hard to find this kind of exactly the same operations from several big graphs, because this is actually an NP-hard problem. Especially when your input graph is can only be seen at runtime, it becomes more hard. And also is that when you try to batch the execution, you need to make sure the inputs to that operation to be batched is located continuous on memory. Otherwise, your GPU kernel won't be efficient. You need to perform memory copy to enable that. But this memory copy is also not free. It's pretty expensive, especially in deep learning, which is highly iterative. So because we use this novel representation proposed by CAVS, our batching, we can bring back batching. That is, whenever we try to perform one, during the forward pass, for example, we just need to figure out a set of vertex in a batch of graphs that are ready to be evaluated. By ready, I mean they don't have a dependency anymore. And then we batch the evaluation of F over this set of vertex, and then we push the output to its parents, and we repeat this process until all the nodes has been processed. The same process applies for backward pass. And this figure actually gives an example. The orange node is the first round, first batch. And the blue node is second batch, and the green node is third batch. And also, to ensure that the memory is continuous on continuous for the batch execution kernel to be efficient, CAVS proposed a dynamic tensor. Well, the difference is actually it has a extensible storage pointer P, which whenever we need to, in this case, we can make the batch size dynamic. That is, whenever we need more content, we just expand the pointer. And I'm not going to talk about the details. It's pretty complex. But the key grasp here is whenever we need to expand the storage, we expand P. And we always we determine a batch size dynamically at runtime and always write the output of that batch execution kernel continuously at the end of this each dynamic tensor. In this case, we can guarantee the memory continuity. For more details, you can refer to our paper. And we can see we perform an experiment to show how many overhead the memory copy will result in dynamic batching. And we can see that CAVS gives another 2 or 3 times speed up over state of the art systems, which is DENET. And also, CAVS reopens the opportunities to graph optimization. Because here, what we need to do, if we want to incorporate the graph optimization, what we need to do is we just optimize the statically declared function F by users. And then we schedule the execution of F over all the nodes of input graphs. And this optimization only needs to be performed once and can benefit the computation of all examples, all input graphs. So how important is, we propose 3 strategies, which I'm not going to go into detail. And for example, the kernel fusion is actually a very mature one in compiler technologies. And the lazy batching and streaming, since that we try to figure out the parallelization opportunities inside a data flow graph, which maps to F. And how important is graph optimization? So basically, in static declaration frameworks such as TensorFlow or MXNet, this sometimes yields like 2 to 4 times of speed up. And in our experiment, we observe another 1.5 speed up compared to a baseline without this. So overall, we can observe that CAVS achieves 1 to 2 orders of magnitude faster than some systems such as Dynet and TensorFlow Fold on these 4 dynamic neural networks that are widely adopted in machine learning community. They are fixed LSTM, variable STM, tree FC, and tree LSTM. And also in terms of the computational only time, we also observe a very positive result. This actually credits to our batching strategy and also the graph optimization techniques here. Yeah. So here I give an overview of the this kind of availability of frameworks for dynamic neural networks. And we can see CAVS presents a lot of advantages. It has good expressiveness. It enables dynamic batching, and it has very low graph construction overhead, and it can benefit from graph level execution optimization. Yeah. And so to summarize, the take home message is that deep learning has moved from static architectures such as CNN more and more to dynamic structures such as RNN. And static declaration and dynamic declaration are two mostly adopted programming models. But they both have drawbacks, which are graph construction overhead, difficulty in dynamic batching, which is very important for deep learning because the success of deep learning somehow credits to this, and also unavailable to graph optimizations. And CAVS propose a representation of dynamic NNs that address these 3 challenges. And dynamic neural networks is definitely an interesting field that demands a lot of system research, such as new programming models, parallelization strategies, and software frameworks. So for more technical details, please refer to our paper. And our code will be released very soon. Check out this link. OK, thank you.
Thank you. Questions?
Hi, Shelby Thomas, UC San Diego. Did you find your approach had any effect on the precision or accuracy? I didn't see any like F1 scores or anything in the paper. So did this kind of change, the approach that you changing the way that you did this graph processing affect that or not really?
Sorry, there is an echo here. I cannot hear.
He's asking if your results change the accuracy of the models.
No, of course not, because this execution of neural networks is exactly the same in terms of convergence. So you don't want to change any statistical results. Yeah.
Okay, I have a question too.
Sure.
So I wanted to understand the extendability of your solution. What if there are new models and we want to extend and use the different model? Does this mean it would be more difficult or?
No, actually, I know in machine learning community, people are continuously developing more and more dynamic models. And but one principle rule you must respect is they need to make sure that the model is learnable. That means the parameters will be infinite, will be finite, and you cannot develop a model with infinite parameters. And the computational pattern is actually always respecting some structures. Otherwise, your model will not be trainable or cannot draw any insights from the data. So CAVS actually is built upon this principle. That is, we always try to exploit these rules that the machine learning researchers try to respect. For example, the recursive or recurrent structure of those models. And it can always exploit this kind of things to minimize, such as the graph construction and or executing runtime. And sometimes when some machine learning papers develop some weird models, such as combine some recurrent components with static components, and then another recurrent components. And we do consider this problem, and we develop another set of API, which I don't cover here, that enable you to combine these kind of things together. Yeah. For example, if you have 2 dynamic components, you just declare 1 dynamic component, use 1 set of API as one vertex function, and another set of API, another vertex function, and combine them together.